All right. Hello, everyone. This is Samantha Gregory from RichSingleMama.com, and welcome to Rich Single Mama TV and radio, depending on where you're listening from. Today, I have a special guest, Ms. Tina C. Hines. She is a part of our Single Mompreneur series, and I'm really excited to be able to talk with her today about her journey in single motherhood, as well as in business and how she balances them both. Welcome, Tina. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Samantha, for having me. I am happy to be a guest on the Rich Single Mama.
Awesome. So, Tina, we were just doing a little bit of talking earlier about where we're from. We're both from Georgia, just so everybody knows. We're both living in Georgia.
I'm originally from New Jersey, actually. Okay. I just relocated here literally 2 years ago.
Okay.
And that's a part of the story, too. So we'll get into that a little later.
Awesome. So I like when we're having this Single Mompreneur series, I started this series because I really wanted to find single moms who are in business, doing business and balancing their home life, motherhood, babies, teens, young adults, because that's the era that I'm in. So Tina, tell us about your single mom journey.
Oh, my single mom journey. Well, actually, I became a single mom at the age of 19, and I had a beautiful son who is right now 31. Okay. Wait a minute, he reminds me, 32. Okay. I've got one number less than mine, so he's 32.
Gotcha.
But, you know, as most single moms, we have our challenges of the ups and the downs and finding babysitters and all of that wonderful, great stuff. But what's interesting about my journey is when my son was entering into kindergarten, going to first grade, we discovered that he had Asperger's. Mm. Or actually, at that time, it was considered attention deficit hyper disorder. Okay. And it slowly transitioned to Asperger's. And so that was something else to add on to being a single mother.
Yes, I can relate.
Because now I'm like, okay, I got to focus on a couple of other things. And that was something that you and I had briefly discussed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being parents of a child who has a special need or has an extra need, as I like to call it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, okay.
Yeah.
So you're, as you were managing single motherhood, did you have a good support system around you to help you through the daily ups and downs, the routines that you were going through at the time?
You know, I like to call them my front row. Okay. of my sister friends. I'm an only child, so okay. I had an amazing support system of front row sisters and of other family members who were there when I was going through all of these stressful changes and adjustments of understanding what was going on with my son, and also for me being a young mom,
sure.
You know, trying to navigate this world of being a parent and being someone who needs the support and doesn't have the support of the dad.
Right.
And, you know, these women definitely showed up for me. They had been friends since middle school, mm-hmm. and then some I've accumulated further on the journey. But it's been phenomenal. And it's funny that you say that, because that was recently is what I said. I was talking to one of my other single mom friends,
mm-hmm.
and she was saying how, you know, having that support system is essential. And I said, yeah. And if it wasn't for these three people, you might find me stuck in the bed with depression.
Right. I totally get it. Totally get it. And I brought that up or asked that question because the support, I think, makes a huge difference, mm-hmm. in this journey. Because if you don't have the support, if you are floundering out there by yourself, then the depression does seep in. Then the isolation becomes crippling, and it feels like there's nobody in the world who understands what you're going through, cares about what you're going through, and you start getting all these different, I like to call them stories, that kind of start being made up in your mind about who you are as a person, your situation. And you kind of have a distorted view of life and reality.
Right.
You're just doing it by yourself and there's nobody there to help you.
Yes. And we have that, you know, we all have those moments, and then somehow we get bounced back. We bounce back, or we get knocked back into reality. It's like I often say, embrace that part of the journey, because there's a message and a lesson through the process. And now that my son is an adult, I'm definitely getting a lot more lessons, especially from him.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. So I know we talked about this too, you know, in terms of your son having Asperger's, and I told you about my son and a similar diagnosis. And I, especially when he was younger, we didn't get a diagnosis until like a couple of years ago, actually. Mm-hmm. And so it was just really challenging when he was younger because I was like, I don't know what I'm dealing with here, but decided to make the best of the situation and to really be supportive as much as possible because there were some really real challenges early on. Yes. And I was like, what people wanted to label him as, ADD, or mm-hmm. ADD, without the H, because he was
without the H,
pretty
yeah.
laid back, you know. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay. but you know, trying to do it all as a mom, a student, a work employee, starting businesses and everything, that was really a very interesting dynamic. And so yes. For you, did you start your business after your son became an adult or while he was still in your house?
My son actually still lives with me.
Okay.
And I started my business about 7 years ago. Okay. So he was an adult, but you know, they still have certain, it's like the challenges for a child who has a need it may not be the same. It just changes.
Right.
You know, they get older, but certain things, certain behaviors are still somewhat the same, regardless of their age.
Sure.
And that was something that I recognized. But what's interesting for me is through my entire journey of his life, I was truly 100% committed to him and his well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until many, many years later, you know, later, after I had gone through my career, my professional career, that I made the decision to actually start the business and that I made this decision to relocate here.
Okay.
Simply because it was now my time.
Sure. Okay.
It was now my time.
Okay. So in your bio or in the interest sheet, when you filled it out, you were saying teaching the importance of self-care. Was that part of the journey into moving here to Georgia for everyone else who doesn't know what
it it was part of myself being self-full.
Okay.
Of relocating here. As I said, I was in corporate America for over 30 years. And mm-hmm. actually I started as an intern in high school
mm-hmm.
and I had my son. And so I stayed because it was able to sustain my livelihood.
Right.
And so as time progressed, I was comfortable in my job.
Right.
I was sitting there minding my own business in my job. And I suffered from clinical depression.
Okay.
And the clinical depression stemmed from taking care of everybody else instead of taking care of myself. You know, right. We're superwomen, we try to do that.
Absolutely.
And as I was going through my clinical depression and working through it, I was also going through an awakening at the exact same time.
Yes. Okay.
And so that was the major component of the journey, going through that awakening and what led to me starting my business.
Okay. And tell me more about your business. What's the name of it? What does it entail? What is the service or product that you offer?
Okay, so what I do is I work with women who are on a journey from hurting to healing to happiness.
Mm.
And I am an intuitive empath, a clairvoyant, a medium, mm. a healer. I have all these magical labels, as I like to call them, that allows me to support women who are on their own personal journey. And so for me, when I began my own personal journey, I didn't realize it had already started prior to me saying, I'm officially starting a business.
Okay.
Because I used to have women gather in my home and we used to talk about everything on the face of the earth
mm-hmm.
and recognizing that we too needed a support system, but that support system was derived out of the support system I received.
Got it.
And so I said, gee, if I'm having this experience, what are other women getting at the same time? Because we show up, we write everybody else's appointments in pen and we write ours in pencil. And as soon as something happened, we erase it.
Yeah, that's so true. Oh my goodness. That is like preach and pass the offering plate, because it's true.
Yeah. So on my journey, I started listening to Deepak Chopra and meditation. And one of the meditations that he asked, who am I? Mm-hmm. You know, that big question that we're often asked. And when I started answering it, I had all these labels that had nothing to really do with Tina. Right. And I was like, wait a minute, something needs to shift here. And so me forming my business started out of my love for helping my sisters, as I call them, my women around the globe, and wanting to see them live a healthier and happier life, recognizing that stuff does happen.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen. But once you know what that true happiness feels like and you're feeling fulfilled, when the stuff starts to hit the fan, you know how to bounce back from it. Sometimes we don't know how to bounce back from it because we've been down so long.
Right.
And so when I encourage my clients to do something special is create a box. Mm-hmm. Like create a visual box of something yummy, that things yummy that you love. And in there, in that box is the things that bring you joy. Okay. So, you know, whether it's the birth of a child, whether it's your graduation from college, whether it's buying your first home, or whether it's an experience that you had. So every time you're feeling stuck or you're feeling unworthy, you look into that box.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait a minute, but I did this. And as single moms, we have to remember all the stuff we did.
Absolutely.
Versus beating ourselves up.
Right. And that's so interesting. It's so profound. It's so important to do, because I know for me, years ago, when I was feeling down, like, oh my God, I haven't done anything in my life. I'm here at this place. What have I done? And then I just started writing down everything. I call it my accomplishment list. Mm-hmm. And so this is similar to the box, which probably can contain memories that you can actually pick up and hold. But this list, for me, I had to really get to the place where I could write down everything, review it, and applaud myself for doing it and accomplishing it, and it really seeing, oh, wow, I am capable. I have done a lot of things, regardless of my status, as whether I'm a single mom, a single woman, a divorced mom, whomever, there's more to me than just this label. But it's all the different things that I've accomplished as well. So I really love that idea of having this memory box, as it were, of accomplishments that you've done.
Yeah, definitely. And I just, you know, in helping women, I'm helping them change the narrative of their not so positive messages.
Right.
And to start creating more positive messages in their lives and focus on what they've come out of and how they survived, and knowing that they are capable of accomplishing so much more if they just get rid of Negative Nancy and Debbie Downer.
And the criticism committee.
Yeah, and the committee too. You know, don't take on somebody else's fear as your own.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, on this journey, that's what I've been inspiring women to do. And I've been doing between that and whisking them off to international retreats.
Oh, awesome.
It's an amazing experience, in it, but it's also fulfilling to see the transformation up close and personal mm-hmm. that they were able to make.
I love it. I love it. I love retreats too. So I'm gonna have to hop on one of those with you.
We're going back to Bali next year. This Ooh, year we had nice. I had 13 women who went to Bali, Indonesia.
Wow.
And just to observe, I was more of an observer this year than I am in the past, mm-hmm. but it allowed me to still see their transformation and be a guide to them. And so a lot of women are excited about what's going to happen in 2020, mm-hmm. but my passion for having women escape also came out of my journey of going through my healing process, because when I was going through it, I left and went to the islands mm-hmm. and I escaped. I'm like, I created my support system showed up.
Okay.
And I escaped to go to Anguilla, British West Indies, where I started working on my own personal healing. And I said, you know, when I try to do retreats in the States, they're still connected. They mm-hmm. still want to call. They still want to do social media. But when I have them on the other side of the world, they can be present with themselves.
Right.
They can show up for themselves. And that's always encouraged when women make the decision to attend one of the retreats. Don't bring a sister, don't bring a friend, don't bring your mama, come alone, but be present and be present and focused on what's transpiring there, because it's in preparation for what's going to happen when you return home.
Right. That makes total sense, because when we have so many people that we know around us, we're not able to fully release the mask, drop it down completely, and be open. I'm trying to remember when the last time I was just by myself with nobody that I knew. I think maybe when I was in college. Mm-hmm. That's too long, you know? But finding time, I think, you know, we both talked about being empaths and protecting our space, our time, our energy. So I found that even here in the United States, when I was on my journey, I did spend a lot of time alone, because it was important, you know, to as I continue to discover myself and evolve and grow and go through the really toughest time in my life. I mean, it was really, really hard, you know, to face yourself. And I think that for a lot of women, especially single mothers, because we're so bombarded with everyday life, it's hard to get that alone time. It's hard to really discover who we are as a person without all the labels, without all the extra baggage that people put on us, but really get deep into the core. And I suppose, I don't know, when you have younger children, it's more challenging to do that. But I think I wrote an article years ago that said when life's overwhelming you, just take 5 minutes by yourself. Let the kids know, mommy's going to be in the room. I'm going to be laying down. Don't disturb me unless somebody's bleeding or there's a death, you know? And I think that also teaches kids how to respect boundaries as well. On a really just elementary level, it gives them, and it also helps them to learn that boundaries are okay. And if I want some alone time away from mommy, away from siblings or whatever, then I can do that for myself as well. So, because we teach them how to be, you know, and as we teach them how to be, then they become hopefully healthier human beings.
Yeah. One of the things that I encourage women to do when they're trying to grasp for that alone time is I'm a huge believer in going places and not rushing to get out the car. I'm like, sit in the car for 5 or 10 minutes. Just sit in the quietness. If your favorite song is on, finish and listen to the end of it. Don't rush to just say, I'm getting to my destination and know I got to get out of the car. I was like, you can give yourself 5 or 10 minutes there. And then when you're about ready to head back home, do the same thing on the back end. Sit in the car for a minute before you start up and leave. So you can allow yourself to just decompress, because we're constantly moving. We're constantly on the run. We got a big list of everything that we have to do. Sure. And we keep telling ourselves that we don't have time. Mm-hmm. And I always laugh at that when people tell me that they don't have time. I says, I can give you pockets of time that you wouldn't even believe you had.
Right.
And I just based on what your lifestyle is, I can start identifying where you can get those moments of time, you know, alone, but you have to be willing to do it, and you have to be committed to it. And again, coming back with setting the boundaries about it. For me, I know that even though my son is older, when he was younger, I didn't go to college till late in life. And even if I was at the dining room table, I would say to him, mommy's in school. And so he knew that although he was in his room, when I was at the dining room table doing certain things and I say I'm in school, that he couldn't disturb me for a certain amount of time. But it was being clear, giving him what that time frame was, so he wouldn't be on pins and needles waiting at the door and peeking around.
Right.
And so there are a number of ways that, you know, we can work around certain things, but we just have to be willing to go get out of our norm, get out of our norm and make a certain shift. So for now, even though he's older, but again, dealing with the disability, there's certain things like he knows that when I'm doing, when I'm on social media doing lives or doing interviews, or when I'm doing my oracle card readings, he knows that he has to pause a little bit. Mm-hmm. And also I have a separate space in my home where I, when I need that quiet time, that I can just go to and retreat and close the door. And he knows not to knock, versus if I'm in my bedroom, he'll knock.
Sure.
So it's about teaching him that process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I totally understand. So, and I know we've talked, you gave like one example of just sitting in the car and relishing that quiet time. What else can a single mom do to find some alone time? And I talked about going to the room and, you know, for 5 minutes after work and just decompressing that way. Yeah. What other ways do you think that busy single moms of younger children can find some alone time just to maybe meditate for 10 minutes?
So sometimes what I, there's a couple of things that I suggest as a way outside the home, you know, sitting in the car, as I mentioned, or bodies of water give us peace. Mm-hmm. If there's a body of water at your, near your home, identifying when you can steal time to go away from, go and be there.
Right.
At night, I am a huge fan of meditation. Mm-hmm. And so we always struggle with, I can't sit down for 5 minutes. I don't have 5 minutes of quiet time.
Yeah.
And so I say, do meditation as you're preparing to go to sleep for the night. Mm-hmm. Find a guided meditation. I have a couple that are my favorite that I turn on my phone, and I turn my phone over and I listen to the meditation as I'm drifting off to sleep. Mm-hmm. Most people feel, I got to stay awake to listen to it. No, allow yourself to drift off sleep, because when you do it consistently, you will get some of the best rest mm-hmm. that you've ever had before, because your mind is starting to calm down from all of the things that you've done throughout the day, and it's allowing your body to relax. And what's happening is we're not centering ourselves enough. We're not creating that inner peace enough. Mm-hmm. So we're consistently finding ourselves sitting in the midst of chaos versus
right.
calm.
Right. Absolutely. I love that. Two great, great tips to be able to get that alone time and decompress, which is really important because I find that we lose ourselves in motherhood, and we lose ourselves as an employee. We lose ourselves as so many things, again, in these labels. And so taking that time is a really important step in self-care, you know, which I know that you, really are a proponent of in your business and in life. And that's so important to have the self-care. And I had a conversation with someone early, it's been a few weeks ago, I guess. And we were talking about self-care is more than just going and getting a manicure, pedicure. It's more than just going out and trying to get an external type of release. Mm-hmm. Self-care is really about the mental and emotional and really taking care and guarding those places in your life.
Yeah. Mind, body, spirit. The three components go together. If one is off, it's going to make the other ones be off balance as well.
Absolutely.
So it's important that you do that.
Yes. So starting a business, it's a big undertaking. It requires, I guess, a few things. Some people say, well, I don't have the money to start a business. I don't have the time. I don't have any talents or whatever. So what would you say to a single mom who is thinking about starting a business? What should she do?
The first thing is focus on what you love. Okay. Focus on what you love. Because when you start focusing on what you love, you're more inclined to continue doing it. Mm-hmm. Versus, I'm just doing this so I don't have to go to a job anymore. I don't have to be a slave to the 9-to-5. You have to find what you love and identify how it works in your lifestyle. Versus let me start it over again. Or we're searching for our passion.
Right.
And most of, I don't know what my passion is. And I often say, look, I can tell you what your passion is in 5 minutes. Literally, all you gotta do is talk to me. But they're like, how do you know this? Because I listen to what people say to me, and I pay attention to their energy when they speak about certain things. So I definitely say, you know, tap into what you're good at when you're starting a business. Also, think about what you currently do in your job. If you have a job, what are you currently doing in that job? What are the components of that job that you just light up and you thrive and you flow with doing it? And what are those stuff that, ugh, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want nothing to do with it. And then when we think about the financial component of it, the financial is it's a key thing. Mm-hmm. Because many of us are single moms and we don't have an abundance of financial resources flowing in. So that doesn't mean you have to go out and be grand and get the website and get all of these little pieces that are somewhat in the beginning insignificant. Because mm-hmm. you have to have a business plan. That's sure. significant starting out. A business plan and a mentor. Right. Someone whom you can talk to who gets it, because sometimes we're surrounded by people who are not business owners, who don't have a clue about it. And we're having these conversations and they can't relate to it. So they may be sometimes discouraging.
Right.
So those are a couple of things that I suggest. Definitely get a mentor or get a coach and then just sit down and start laying out. I'm a huge fan. I got journals everywhere of journals.
Oh, yeah.
And just start brain dumping what you desire to do. And when you brain dump, just write it. Don't edit it.
Yep.
Just continually write it. And then after you go back to it, start compartmentalizing and see what resources you need for each component of those boxes that you're working through. And then start asking. Stop being afraid to ask people for XYZ. Like you asked and you got poured into when you asked. Yeah. And imagine if you had not asked. Mm-hmm. And so we have to stop being afraid of the no's that may come and pay more attention to the yeses that are going to come.
Yes.
And also that support system. Surround yourself with people who are on the same journey as you. And it may not be the people you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be those people who, you know, they're comfortable where they are, may not have that same desire as you. And be okay with stepping outside your comfort zone, because everything you want is out there.
Yes, sir.
In order to get what you desire to create the business that makes your heart sing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Great advice. And I'm taking notes, mental notes. I'm listening, especially about the comfort zone, because I'm still working that out. You know, there are some places I'm super comfortable in. There are other places where I take a little dip in my toe in and say, I don't know about that. I might want to do that. I might not. But I really appreciate you talking about the comfort zone, because it is a really scary place sometimes to step outside of and to really move into, because that's where all the magic happens.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yes, it is. So tell me, what's the legacy you want to leave for your son?
So for my son, Floyd, please don't let me get emotional here, because whenever I talk about him and what I want to do, I always get emotional about it. For my son, I really just want to leave him with a couple of things. Number one, knowing that he is capable of doing anything that he puts his mind to, and as well as not having the experience, but not having the struggle. Having the experience, but not having the struggle.
Right.
And then recognizing that being rich and being wealthy are definitely two different things.
Absolutely.
Because the wealth will be there emotionally, it'll be there physically, it'll be there financially. And just creating a space where he too can pass on whatever it is that makes his heart sing into the next generation of entrepreneurs that come up.
Awesome. I love that. Beautiful. It's very beautiful. And I'm sure that legacy will be left by you, because you do have a bright light that I'm sure shines over his life, and he can pick up a lot of good from you. So I appreciate you for sharing that. Please tell us where we can find you, find your business, your website, all the good stuff about what you do.
So you can find me. My website is tinachines.com. My full name, TinaChines.com. On Facebook, I am Tina C. Hines, Life Transformation Specialist. And on Instagram, I'm Tina C. Hines 50.
Nice. Okay. So please make note of that, all our listeners. If you will go to our show notes, I will have all of her information there with the links to her website and all her social media. And so I hope that you will tap into what Tina has to offer, transformational experiences for women. And then as you do that and as you grow, that you'll pass that on to the other women in your life as well. So I appreciate you so much, Tina, for being on the Rich Single Mama TV and radio show. It has been such a wonderful, refreshing blessing for me, and I'm sure all our listeners as well.
Wonderful. Well, again, I thank you for extending the invitation for me to be here and share with your amazing audience.
Absolutely. And just, is there one last thing, one last word that you want to share of encouragement to single moms out there?
Last words. I would definitely say, just because you are a single mom does not mean you cannot accomplish all that you desire. Mm-hmm. You've already done half the work, and there is so much more for you to do that's going to speak to you, mind, body, and spirit. But most importantly, remember to take care of you on the journey.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tina. I appreciate that. And everybody else, that's our show for today. I hope that you will go out, that you'll be blessed, and that you'll remember to take care of you. All right. This is Samantha Gregory with RichSingleMama.com. Visit our show notes for today's notes. Have a great day.